Macmillan Audio presents Falter by Bill McKibben, narrated for you by Oliver Wyman, with an opening note read by the author. For Coretti Tiamalu, 1975-2017, and for the thousands of other beloved colleagues who fight so hard for the planet's future.
An opening note on hope. 30 years ago, in 1989, I wrote the first book for a wide audience on climate change, or as we called it then, the greenhouse effect. As the title indicates, The End of Nature was not a cheerful book, and sadly, its gloom has been vindicated. My basic point was that humans had so altered the planet that not an inch was beyond our reach, an idea that scientists underlined a decade later when they began referring to our era as the Anthropocene. This volume is bleak as well, in some ways bleaker, because more time has passed and we are deeper in the hole. It offers an account of how the climate crisis has progressed and of new technological developments in fields such as artificial intelligence that also seem to me to threaten a human future. Put simply, between ecological destruction and technological hubris, the human experiment is now in question. The stakes feel very high, and the odds very long, and the trends very ominous. So I have no doubt there are other books that would offer readers a merrier literary experience. I know, too, that this bleakness cuts against the current literary grain. Recent years have seen the publication of a dozen high-profile books devoted to the idea that everything in the world is steadily improving. They share not only a format, endless series of graphs showing centuries of decreasing infant mortality or rising income, but also a tone of perplexed exasperation that any thinking person could perceive the present moment as dark. As Steven Pinker, the author of The Sanguine Enlightenment Now, explained, "None of us are as happy as we ought to be, given how amazing our world has become. People," he added, "just seem to bitch, moan, whine, carp, and kvetch." I'm grateful for those books because, among other things, they remind us precisely how much we have to lose if our civilizations do indeed falter. But the fact that living conditions have improved in our world over the last few hundred years offers no proof that we face a benign future. That's because threats of a new order can arise, indeed have now arisen. Just as a man or a woman can grow in strength and size and wealth and intelligence for many years and then be struck down by some larger force, cancer, a bus, so too with civilizations. And, to kvetch and whine a little further, because of the way power and wealth are currently distributed on our planet, I think we're uniquely ill-prepared to cope with the emerging challenges. So far, we're not coping with them. Still, there is one sense in which I am less grim than in my younger days. This book ends with the conviction that resistance to these dangers is at least possible. Some of that conviction stems from human ingenuity, watching the rapid spread of a technology as world-changing as the solar panel cheers me daily. And much of that conviction rests on events in my own life over the last few decades. I've immersed myself in movements working for change, and I helped found a group, 350.org, that grew into the first planet-wide climate campaign. Though we haven't beaten the fossil fuel industry, we've organized demonstrations in every country on the globe save North Korea, and with our many colleagues around the world, we've won some battles. This book is dedicated to one of my dearest colleagues in that fight, Coretti Tiamalu, who died much too early in 2017. I've been to several jails and to 1,000 rallies, and along the way, I've come to believe that we have the tools to stand up to entrenched power. Whether that entrenched power can actually be beaten in time, I do not know. A writer doesn't owe a reader hope. The only obligation is honesty. But I want those who pick up this volume to know that its author lives in a state of engagement, not...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?